It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast
with Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. Dork number 70, if you can believe it. I am your host, Rich Keefe. Joining me once again is Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm back.
Yes, that's what I like to hear. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had you on, but no time like the present, as they say.
As they say. Yeah, it's been a bit of an up. My world has been upturned since we last spoke. I started a new academic year, so things have been, you know, in utter turmoil the past couple of days.
Yeah,
we
need to find like a new dork schedule for Davey. So that's what we're going to do.
But I'm here now, and that's all that matters, as you said. So
he's here now, and today's topic is a Ryan Davey brainchild. We're going to get to best and worst sidekicks, which I think is a great one. So looking forward to that. And I know we're definitely going to miss people. So this is one where we're certainly looking for your feedback on it. dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at dorkpodcast. Also want to let everybody know that we've started a new venture as well. We're going to be blogging a little bit. So keep track of not just a place to stream all of our episodes, but any kind of, you know, interesting little teasers, trailers, lists, that kind of thing. I'm just going to just funnel all this stuff to the blog. If you go there now, I have the top 100 series, television series, according to Alan Sepinwall and Matthew Zoller. They wrote a book called TV The Book, and I have the top 100 shows according to them. Also have the Captain America Civil War Honest Trailer. I don't know if you've watched that yet, Dave. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
It's pretty good. Some South Park stuff, some teasers for Supergirl and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all that crap. So just a place when you're trying to, you know, make the time pass at work. It's just another place you can go is the website. And, of course, another reminder, because we don't always put out the podcast at the same time each week, it helps you to subscribe. It also helps us if you subscribe on iTunes or Google Play or any of that nonsense. So we appreciate that. Comments, whatever, ratings, etc. Now, Davey, this week in Hashtag Dork is, of course, brought to you by Mac and Goo. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah, they say this. Clinton and Kane, you must be tripping. Trump and Pence, gag me with a spoon. Mac and Goo, now you're talking my language. Politics, huh? Who knows, huh? How about those clowns on Congress? Politics. Can't fight City Hall. Goo subscribe on iTunes and Google Play, or go to macandgoo.com and get all the audio you can eat. So,
the rent is too damn high.
There you go. This week in Hashtag Dork, the summer TV shows are pretty much coming to an end, and the fall TV shows are just about upon us. But Mr. Robot is wrapping up. As we're recording this, there's still two episodes to go. And I know you've been watching these on a little bit of a delay here. But let me tell you right now, Davey, the last episode was friggin' awesome. I think it's the 10th episode of the season. It was, to me, the best episode of the season. I think we're going to end up doing a whole standalone episode later on. But just so you know, it gets pretty good.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to that standalone episode. I will catch up as soon as I can. I'm on more of a regular schedule now, so I can plan my time accordingly and get all caught up so we can do that.
I think it's also...
If you'll have me.
Oh, we'd love to have you. I think it's the early favorite... Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely in the mix. We're going to do, a top TV shows of 2016, and Mr. Robot, like last year, is in the mix. I don't know if it'll be number one, but it's definitely up there. How about some movie news? Do you like movie news?
I love movie news.
Did you see Joe Manganiello from True Blood fame is going to be Deathstroke in the Batman movie?
I did. I actually tweeted that joint out, and I'm very excited about it.
Pretty good casting. I mean, just from the look of the guy, I've seen him act enough. You know, he's probably going to be wearing the mask a lot, but, you know, hopefully not, though. Hubba hubba. But either way,
punk, huh?
That guy's a mountain of a man, too.
He is.
Holy Moses.
And not a lot of people know, not his first turn in a superhero movie.
No, it is not.
Because those of us in the know that he played Flash Thompson in Sam Raimi's original Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was wearing some tight T-shirts and throwing punches at Peter Parker.
If you didn't think Toby Maguire looked like a high school student, where do you look at Joe Manganiello?
Driving around in his Plymouth Prowler, which they don't even make anymore.
He was
the most ridiculous car I've ever seen.
He was intimidating, though. He was an intimidating gentleman in that. So I also, not just the casting, what do you think of the villain?
I think see, that's the thing. I don't think Deathstroke's going to be the only guy in the movie.
Yeah, good point.
I think he's going to be working for somebody else. You know, maybe a Falcone character, you know, maybe, you know, somebody else, but
Joker,
you know,
again.
I like Deathstroke. I just don't think that villain can carry a movie.
No, you're probably right. I think he's a good part of an ensemble, but if the rumors of it being set in Arkham Asylum are true, then I guess it would maybe make some sense. You could have him in there, or maybe have him not in there, or whatever else. You know, I think he's a good character. I just really like it because it's not something we've already seen. Like they've done so many Batman movies and they've had to retread a few times. You know, obviously multiple Jokers. We've even had multiple Two-Faces. We've had, you know, on down the line. So I like this, and I think this could be good. And I don't know. I have a lot of faith in Ben Affleck, so I think the movie's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw in Batman vs. Superman, like, he's a very capable Batman.
You know?
And I think that, you know, I think he kind of took the reins from Zack Snyder, you know, kind of patted him on the head and was like, you know what, buddy, why don't you, you know, I've won a couple Oscars, why don't you take a break?
Yeah, sit a couple plays out there, Zack. Yeah. You can go
do
Sucker Punch 2. Why don't you get that?
Yeah.
Get that going. Yeah, so I'm excited for Deathstroke. I was a little bummed out that it wasn't Red Hood, but who knows?
He might show up.
Yeah, they're not ruling that out, so.
Yeah.
All right, I'd like to see that. How about a little little video game news, Ryan? The Season 2 of Competitive Play on Overwatch is out, and we got a few requests because we did a standalone Overwatch episode, but that was way before they really got even Season 1 of Competitive Play going.
Right.
We did that pretty early going.
We did that pretty early on, yeah.
How do you like the new... And we won't spend a ton of time on this because I know not everybody's playing Overwatch, but how do you like the new kind of ranking system and how they've changed it from last year?
I think it's a lot better. I think one of the things is, and you and I would get frustrated, is that you would drop a whole level when you lost, and then it seemed like when you win, you didn't really get that much back.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what the formula was.
Yeah, so I like the system now, and I also like the bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, master class thing. I actually like that too, because what I've heard is I haven't done this yet. I'm still in the little top echelon of gold. I'm pushing platinum right now.
Yep.
But the thing I like is if you get into platinum and you drop back into a gold level, you're still in platinum. You know what I mean? So whatever level you're
yeah,
gonna
you,
stay there.
You keep the highest little thing, but you're like your point number can dip down. So yeah.
Yeah. I do like it, and thank God it's back, because I'll tell you this, playing with scrubs, as it were, playing with guys who aren't into competitive play and are just really like to play and really like to just to participate was not doing it for me anymore.
No. Today was brutal. Today I was playing with by myself, and I was just joining up with randos, and first team I played with, we just marched down and just annihilated. Like, it was a bloodbath, and I was like, man, like I wish I could play with these guys all the time. And then literally the next game I played was the exact opposite. Like, I think we held on to the point for like 10 seconds, and it was like, holy shit. So I'm like, all right, that's a wash then. Like, I gained some points, lost them right back, and I'm like, all right, that's how that goes.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, not playing in competitive, once you've done it, and then you, like you said, you get in with the scrubs, it's not fun.
No, like when it's a free for all, because then you get like the pros playing with people who just bought the game, playing with like you and I, and it's just that's chaos. Like this is better, because for the most part, like today was kind of an anomaly as far as what a bloodbath it was, but it's usually, you know, it is like it's competitive play, and you have people that have pretty similar skill levels, you know.
And it's good to, like, you know, you play off people and you get to do like a certain team makeup and stuff, and I actually like, you know, playing certain characters on certain maps. So, you know, you talk about it with people. You don't just, like, have, you know, six, you know, Junkrats or Torbjorns
playing
offense, you know, where it gets a little sticky. But, you know, I'm glad Season 2 is back. I have been playing a good amount here and there, you know, so I'm happy with it.
So you know what my new strategy-ish type thing is for a team, which I hadn't really done before? So before you're always like, oh, you need, like, a healer.
You go, yeah.
Two healers.
You double up.
Double up the healers. Like, obviously, you have to be different ones, but if you have two good healers going, I mean, that can really make a difference. That was one of the teams I was on that was really good. I was like, yeah, this is just crazy enough to work right now. And so that's
crazy enough to work.
That's my little advice there for Overwatch. Speaking of video games, was it last weekend or the weekend before was PAX West? What do we got from there?
Oh, we get a lot of things coming out of there. Just some highlights. There was a In the horror genre, because I know you're a big
yes,
horror fan.
Love it.
There is a new Friday the 13th video game coming out, which it looks like the most ridiculously gory game I've ever seen in my life.
Like Dead Rising?
Yeah, but it's like you're killing actual people.
Oh boy.
You know, so it's.
Are you Freddy? Are you Jason?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think you can do both. From the looks of the trailer, you can actually do both.
Okay.
So that's something else. And go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Friday the 13th for the original Nintendo game, was that the worst game ever created?
One of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So they're going back. They're bringing it back, huh?
Yeah, they're bringing it back. Yeah. It looks good. I saw multiple skins for Jason. You had everything from the bag over his head to the almost human-looking guy to the guy whose skin is, like, blue because it's so rotted and whatever.
Wow.
Like, there's a bunch of them.
What about the kid?
I'm excited about that.
You got, like, the little kid, the drowning kid?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't show it. You might, though.
He might pop out at you at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
The other thing I was really excited about in the horror genre is that I saw the trailer for Outlast 2.
Oh.
I don't know if you played Outlast, but that game was horrifying.
Outlast 2.
In a good way. Yeah.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yep.
Interesting.
Pull that thing up, because it looks good.
It does look good.
Yep.
When's this puppy coming out, does it say? Let's see.
I don't think they gave you a real date.
Spring, yes, spring 2017.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
So there's that.
Okay.
You know, I just got my hands on NHL 17.
Ooh, so that might be the next game I get. How is that?
It's great.
Okay.
It's great. And I'll be looking forward to join my EA Sports Hockey League team once you get good at it.
Oh, I would like to. I would very much like to do that.
Yeah. Oh, and for some reason, at PAX West, they announced and showed a movie poster for the next Warcraft movie.
Oh, boy.
Am I right?
So, I don't really know anybody who actually saw that movie. Now, I know it's a wildly popular game. It's not one that I played, or you didn't play that either, right?
I did not.
Yeah, so we kind of missed the boat there. So, hey, if you liked it, you liked it. Good for you. But I did not hear a lot of support thrown behind it. I don't know if you really need a sequel, but all right.
I'm going to go ahead and pass.
Yeah, I think I'm out. You can't see everything. Like, that should be one of our mottos. You can't
yeah.
You can't see or play everything.
Pass.
And so you got to sort of skip. So, all right, that's some good stuff from PAX.
Yeah.
Also, last thing for this week in hashtag dork, season 20 of South Park kicks off this week. Which
I can't believe it's been. It makes me feel so old.
So old. I still remember the first time watching it in middle school at my friend's house and be like, look, this show is amazing.
Yeah, and you still weren't really supposed to watch it?
No, probably not.
You know?
God, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, season 20, I saw one of the previews. Looks like they're going to have something about Colin Kaepernick, so I'm sure that'll be pretty good.
Which is still, I know people talk about it a lot, but it's worth mentioning that that's kind of the magic of this show is how they do a show a week and from start to finish. And you know, so it's always very fresh.
Oh, it's
you know
it's
what I mean?
It couldn't be more topical. Like it's like Saturday Night Live. Like how quickly they turn things around and they have those sort of in jokes because, you know, you look back to some of the other seasons and they're still good. Like you go back and watch them, but you know, if they made it like a year out, you're like, well, why is this funny again? You're like, oh, well, that's because so and so whatever happened. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I said we get into it. In fact, there might even be some characters from that show that show up in best/worst sidekicks, and we're going to take a look at comic books, obviously. It could be movie sidekicks, television show, video game. I don't know. Some would say that Ryan Davey is the sidekick to Rich Keefe in hashtag dork. I don't know.
Some people would say it the other way. I don't know. You know, in my household, it's the other way.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
sure.
But, you
sure.
Know, that's fine. Yeah.
Right. Either way, I mean, you can get a good debate there on who actually is the sidekick. How do you want to start this? How do you want to just start throwing some sidekicks?
Yeah, just throw me one, and I'll throw you one. We'll just play tennis with it. You
know? All right,
just,
so this is
go back and forth.
So this is what I want to ask. And yeah, and then so we'll just throw them out there, kind of no order, and then we can decide whether they fall into you know best or worst. I think initially when you first just hear sidekick, you immediately think of Robin, like Batman and Robin, and so there's been several Robins,
and which is funny because. Depending on the Robin you pick, it could fall into worst or it can fall into best.
Yes. Oh, 100%. You know? And so I would have to say the original Robin, Dick Grayson, who then later became Nightwing, probably has to be considered the best sidekick.
Absolutely. And as you've seen with some of the later Batman, the more recent Batman runs, Dick Grayson actually becomes Batman.
Right, exactly. Like, that's how good he is. Like, he could, yeah. It was a seamless transition.
Yeah, so I actually had him on my list as one of the best ones, and I think that was the reason why. You know, because he's so much like Bruce Wayne that he actually, you know, becomes Batman and, you know, can handle that.
Yeah, I think he has to be up there. I think, you know, you look at Jason Todd, who, as much as I love the Red Hood, if you're talking about Jason Todd as Robin, he may be one of the worst, worst sidekicks.
It got to the point where when he died, it was because of a fan vote, remember?
Yes.
Like, the fans actually voted to have him killed.
It was their choice, and they were like, yeah, kill him. And they're like, oh, boy, okay.
And then the writers were like, okay, he's going to get killed with a crowbar, and then people were kind of upset that, you know, and they're like, well, you wanted him to die. What did you expect?
Yeah, like, he's dead. Because he was, you know, you go back, and even if you just read Death in the Family, and maybe if that's the first time you got a sense of Robin, you can already tell he's kind of annoying. Like, I think he's really turned into a sweet character now, but then you're like, all right, this guy's kind of an ass and kind of like a baby, and he doesn't really listen to Batman, which is okay, but it's just, I don't know, he wasn't a great Robin, and therefore not really a great sidekick.
Right, and I think they picked up where they left off with him too, with Damian Wayne. So that's kind of, he's kind of like a pain in the ass now.
Damian Wayne's a pain in the ass. It's different having a sidekick vibe when it's father and son. Too.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, that's a little bit different. And then there's Tim Drake is in there as well. He's fine. Like, he's sort of a blend of all of them, and now he's Red Robin.
Yeah.
Red Robin, yum.
So, it's staying in the universe, one of the people I had, too.
I was going to say, Carrie Kelly, too, real quick, Davey, sorry. I was going to say, Carrie Kelly, we're not going to ignore her. She was a solid sidekick as well when she was in Dark Knight Returns. She was the Robin. So we've had.
Don't sleep on Oracle either. Oracle's a fine sidekick. I didn't love Barbara Gordon as Batgirl, but I do like her as Oracle.
Agreed.
Yes.
All right.
So sticking in the same universe, and like I said, I was trying to think outside the box with this because I didn't want to just say, like, you know, the most obvious sidekicks. You know, because usually we talk about heroes when we have sidekicks, but I think if you're going to make a sidekick team, I believe you got to have Harley Quinn on your team.
Ooh. Interesting, because I would say in the comics now, she's almost, I know she's not technically the leader of the Suicide Squad, but she's, I wouldn't say anybody's sidekick in the Suicide Squad now, but I'm with you, when she first was developed, she was absolutely the Joker's sidekick.
Yeah, and if you're ever going to get that side of, you know, Joker, I mean, she's the one who brings it out of him, you know, and she's, and I thought that character actually kind of came into her own in video games. You know,
for sure. Was, yeah, the voice and everything was great.
Yeah, and Tara Strong, big shout out again to her.
Why not?
But yeah, I felt in the Arkham series that, you know, you saw kind of a different side of that, and now that character has kind of taken off in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it started with, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I thought that that was a very well developed character, and it was much, you know, the squeaky Mr. J voice, and there was actually some depth to that character.
Yeah, I think
which I thought was really good.
Yeah, kind of parallels Nightwing or Dick Grayson in a way, where that's also maybe what makes a great sidekick is, like, at the time they really complement the leader or the main character or whatever you want to say, like, really well, you know, in the sense that Batman doesn't really have a great sense of humor. Dick Grayson sort of provided some of that. He could sort of do some of the other things that Batman couldn't do. But then when push comes to shove, and then by the end, he could sort of take over the mantle. So, like, not going to be a career sidekick either. And that's the same thing with Harley Quinn. So, yeah, those two are very similar. In fact, when you play the Arkham Knight video game, when they have, like, the extra, like, downloadable content, and you can play, like, the Harley Quinn round, doesn't she her end battles against Nightwing, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, well, that makes sense.
So that was fun. That was a good playthrough.
That was.
What else you got?
I think I was just going to quickly mention Speedy or Red Arrow Arsenal from Green Arrow, because, again, Green Arrow, especially early on, was a lot like Batman, and then he would have a lot of the same everything. Like, he had, like, an arrow cave, and he had a sidekick who was similar, like a kid, you know.
He was a rich orphan.
Right, the same thing. So Roy Harper, but he then winds up with Red Hood down the road, and Red Hood and Arsenal have a whole comic book series and stuff. So he's just another one from the DC universe, anyway, that I think I would mention. The other ones I don't really like as much, like Kid Flash never really did it for me, or, yep, you know, some of those other ones. So I think
Aqualad.
Yeah, good one. Like Aqualad. Like, we're not going to sit here and start talking about Aqualad. That's not for me. So I think Robin, specifically Dick Grayson, Harley Quinn's a really good one. And then I would just lump in Roy Harper there for that.
And I'll throw in, too, don't sleep on Falcon either. I always, even though he's kind of his standalone guy, I always saw him as kind of a Captain America sidekick.
Yeah, no, for sure he is. Yeah, no, he definitely is.
Don't sleep on him.
No, and he's been great in the movie. Like he was one of my favorite characters in Civil War. So
yeah,
he definitely belongs on the list.
One of the things that belongs on A-list, well, I think he's one of the worst, and I'm just going to spitball this out, and I'll leave it to the audience to decide.
Yes.
Foggy Nelson. I could do without Foggy Nelson.
Great call. Had that one on my list as well. I don't like him on the Netflix series. I don't like him in the comic book series. I don't like him any which way. It's just he's not for me. I thought Jon Favreau was fine as him in the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. But
you said it was like comic relief, like he kind of like if there was, you know, that movie was provided some unintentional comedy, but I feel like Jon Favreau kind of lightened it a little bit. Whereas Fulton Reed, I forget the kid's name, his actual name, Fulton Reed from the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Not really doing it. Just much more of a complainer.
Yeah,
he complains a lot.
He kind of sucks. He's not as good. What do you think of some would say War Machine, like Iron Man sidekick War Machine?
Yeah, I mean Iron Patriot / War Machine / I think those
are
great.
He's fine.
And I think it was a bit of a more practical Iron Man where we're not dealing with repulsor rays, we're dealing with like actual bullets and stuff. So I think he's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think one of the things is they've actually kind of made fun of that character a little, and especially in like Civil War Ultron, where they kind of make fun of him a little bit.
Yeah, like for me, Falcon much better than War Machine. Like you're looking at that movie and like who the sidekicks are in that movie, like give me him every time.
Right.
It was funny, I was talking with Wessie B one night when we were playing Overwatch. I told him that we're going to meet, this is probably going to be the next topic on our thing. And he asked the question, is Groot Rocket's sidekick or is Rocket Groot's sidekick? And I think
Groot is Rocket's sidekick.
100%. Yeah, I agree completely. Like Rocket's he's the guy, he's the main character there. So Groot, in that regard, as we're talking Marvel guys right now, Groot's a tremendous sidekick.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he can, turn into a big tree and save everybody and then become a smaller tree and then grow up throughout the next movie back into a bigger tree.
Absolutely.
And who else can do that? Here's one for you. What about Arthur the Moth?
From The Tick.
From The Tick. Pretty good.
Love Arthur. That's a good one.
I did
some digging. So in preparation for this, I did some digging, and I was trying to find the absolute worst sidekick I could possibly find in comic books.
Yes.
And I'm going to throw this. His name is Doiby Dickles.
I don't know who that is.
I'm going to tell you who it is. In the very first Green Lantern had a sidekick named Doiby Dickles who had a I'll read you this right from the page.
Ready? Okay.
Powers and abilities. Doiby Dickles has no superpowers, but he's a skilled street fighter and driver.
Oh, okay.
He used his taxi to drive Green Lantern to any location and or during car chases. Sometimes, while fighting, he used a pipe wrench as a weapon, which allowed him to knock out his enemies. So
he's kind of like he's like Jason Statham from The Transporter.
Right. So Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern, who could fly, sometimes used Doiby Dickles as his personal cab driver.
Not only could Alan Scott fly, he could also just create with his ring his own taxi and sit in it and drive that.
Yeah.
But maybe he needed Doiby Dickles.
He needed Doiby Dickles, and he actually, because of his thick New York accent, called the Green Lantern the Green Lantern.
Yeah, I don't like this guy.
We're gonna skip Doiby Dickles. I just figured he would, in the pantheon of comic books, that someone who had no superpowers and was basically a cab driver somehow made it into this universe. But Doiby Dickles, ladies and gentlemen,
he is he's going to be bad, or he's going to be one of the worst. So there's sort of your basement as we sort of go through these.
Yeah.
They can't all be good sidekicks. That's almost more of just an unnecessary sidekick. Or you almost wonder, maybe there was something going on there that we didn't know about between Alan Scott and Dewey B. Dickles. Maybe there's like a relationship there, and he's like, oh, he's my driver. And you're like, okay, you don't need a driver.
Yeah.
Would you say that Jimmy Olsen was Superman's sidekick, or not really?
Yeah, I would say so.
I was never a big fan. I mean, maybe neither of us like Superman. I know there are plenty of people who do. So, like, nothing from his kind of universe, like, except for Lois Lane. Like, yeah, I like her. Who doesn't? But Jimmy Olsen, I could really take him or leave him.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, you know, I think he's kind of the model for what Clark Kent tries to be when he's trying to be a human being, because he's kind of a nerd and, he's kind of a weenie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I think that's kind of his tether to, like, the real world, him and Lois. So I
true.
Think, but I, you know, over the years, I've just another one who's kind of a doyby. I'm just going to start using that as a word now instead of saying someone's like a complete waste of space or an oxygen thief. It's like just a big doyby Dickles.
What a doyby Dickles that guy is.
Yeah.
Doyby Dickles. Unreal. I wonder if I've even seen him in like comics that I've read, or was he so old that they phased him out?
He's out. I don't know. No, there was this whole thing. I read his whole page, and he married some girl from another, some queen from another planet, and she made her home world look like Brooklyn to, like, make him comfortable, so they just kind of, like, ushered him away. You know? They're like, go live on this far distant planet that surprisingly looks like Brooklyn, New York, where you're from, so you'll be comfortable.
His real name is Charles. He's Charles Dickles. So not Charles Dickens. He's Charles Dickles.
Yeah. Charles Dickles.
What an asshole.
So the last one I'm going to bring up in the comic book world, I'm a big fan of this comic series. I don't know if you've read it, the Goon.
No, I've not read Goon.
Goon is actually really good. It's kind of like a noir, kind of like a, you know, shoot 'em up kind of comic. And Frankie from the Goon is one of my favorite sidekicks. You have the Goon, who's very soft spoken and, you know, but a massive guy and, you know, beats the crap out of zombies and voodoo priests. And his buddy Frankie, who's the hard drinking, Tommy gun shooting, gambling kind of guy who's always like mooching off the Goon. So he's one of my favorites.
That is, yeah,
check out the Goon.
I would throw, if you're with comic books still, I think Preacher, the comic book, did a better job than the TV show did, but Cassidy and Tulip are both, you know, Jesse's sidekicks in a sense.
Yes.
And you know, they both, especially Cassidy, you know, not to spoil that if you haven't read it, like there's a time where you're like, oh, maybe this guy's not the best sidekick. But then there are other times where you're like, oh, maybe he is. So those are two really good supporting kind of characters that I think belong in the mix.
Who doesn't love an Irish vampire who loves the booze and the booger sugar? You know?
I can't think of anybody.
That sounds like a good time to me.
That sounds real strong. Yeah, I think that's – I'm trying to think of any other comic book ones that I left out. It's probably – pretty close. I mean, again, people are probably screaming at the radio or the phone.
Jimmy Olsen's the best. Superman's awesome. You guys are stupid.
I like Doy B. Dickles. All right, fine. You like Doy B. Dickles.
I want an email from the one Doy B. Dickles fan on the planet.
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna get that. Let's see. Anything from? No, I feel pretty good about that list.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue here. You want to go, or do you want me to go?
Who's going? Oh, let's go to video. I have some bad ones from video games.
Video game sidekicks, love it.
Okay, I remember the first video sidekick, and they both happened on the Nintendo. All three of them happened on the Nintendo 64. I don't know what their run was with bad sidekicks, but the first one I'm going to say wanted me to like throw a controller through my TV for his. I don't know how he got on this team. He's completely inept. Slippy from Star Fox.
Oh,
I don't know
Slippy.
How that guy.
Son
Slippy's
of a bitch.
Always getting into trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm always having to bail him out.
Right.
That guy was the worst.
No, Slippy's not going to help
became
you.
Became a pilot.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know,
Slippy,
because
son
Falco's
of a bitch.
Not having it. You know, he's the tough one. Not having it.
I can't imagine he went through, you know, flight school and has all the hours necessary.
No.
There's no way. All right, so
how about some evasive maneuvers, kid? Just get out of the way.
One time for us. Do just like an oop-de-oop or something along those lines. I think, to me, the best sidekick in video game history is Tails.
Tails.
Tails from Sonic was amazing, and we talked about this, I think, when we did our console, best games by console, is, you know, you got the one guy, you're playing as Sonic, and then your friend's sitting there watching you, it just sort of picks up the other controller and is like, well, I'll wait for you to stop. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I think I'm controlling Tails right now. And you're like, no, I doubt it. Probably not. You can just play when I'm done.
No, you're not. No, I'm
Tails. I'm Tails right now. And
I'm tailsing. I'm tailsing. I'm doing it.
I'm tailsing right now. Look at me. I'm doing the spin. I'm doing the spin. I'm locked into a spin. And he's awesome. Like he is Sonic's right hand man. He's got a nice look to him. He is probably just as fast as Sonic. And
indestructible. Like you couldn't, like if you were playing as Tails, he was a huge help and he just couldn't die.
Yeah, infinity lives for Tails.
Yep.
And was exactly the guy you need the compliment. A lot easier to beat the game when you have somebody playing as Tails to get a couple of extra hits in on whatever the hell that guy's name
Dr.
was.
Dr. Roboto.
Dr. Roboto. I was going to say Dr.
Robotnik.
Light. I was like,
Robotnik.
No. Robotnik.
Yeah. Not Mr. Roboto. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the things, like we talked about it before, one of the greatest, almost an accident. You stumbled upon that by accident.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anybody who picked up that game and was like, oh, do you know you could be Tails? Like, it always happened by accident.
No, because you would see it, and you're like, oh, Tails is running around. He's, like, chasing you. Like, he's right there with you the whole time. And you're like, yeah. Because, like, when the computer controlled him, it was, like, one in a million that he would actually help you. Like, he'd, like, pick up an occasional ring, and you're like, thanks. Thanks, Tails.
Or he'd run into an enemy before you did.
Yeah, right. He's, like, just a heads up, and then... But, yeah, then your friend's playing with him, and you're like, oh, this game just got a whole lot better.
The other N64 person so big ups to Tails.
Yes.
By the way. Love some. Love
Shout him. Out Tails.
You remember in GoldenEye when you had to walk around with Natalia and she would always get shot?
Oh, yeah.
She was the worst. And you would fail the mission. She sucked. Run it into walls and stuff. I just wanted to mention that quickly because that was the second N64 person I had.
Oh, that was good.
The absolute worst. The worst sidekick in video games I think I've ever run into is Navi from Ocarina of Time.
I did not play that.
So you've probably seen it in, like, video clips and stuff. It was the little fairy that was like, hey, over here. And it was, like, the most the most annoying thing in the world. An otherwise perfect game, the dark spot in the otherwise perfect game of Ocarina of Time. I hated Navi, and anyone who liked Navi, she's basically the Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Like, so we'll get to Star Wars sidekicks. Jar Jar Binks can definitely...
He's the worst.
He's already the worst. I mean, we don't have to really get into that at all.
Yeah, that's just a given.
That's a good one. Would you say, is Luigi Mario's sidekick, or are they equals?
Well, I would say he's definitely a lesser than.
Yeah, I mean, they're not equals, but maybe they're not. Maybe he's not a sidekick either.
Well, here's what I'm going to throw to you right now.
All right.
He might not be. But the kid who played as Luigi at your house was definitely your sidekick. Whoever came over to your house and played as Luigi,
yeah,
that kid was your sidekick.
Yeah, looking at you, Shark. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You were my Luigi.
Because if you
at least at my house.
If you weren't the man with the first player,
right,
and you were second player, you're the sidekick. So I think by default, Luigi is the sidekick.
Yeah, because it's not Luigi Brothers.
Exactly.
It's Mario Brothers, which, of course, leads to the age-old question, is his name Mario Mario? Don't worry about it. Maybe it is.
If you're trying to argue with me that Luigi wasn't a sidekick, that says more about you than it does about Luigi.
No, so, all right, so he definitely is a sidekick then.
I think so.
Okay, is he a good sidekick, a bad sidekick, somewhere in between?
I think part of the problem, it depends on what Mario you're talking about. So if Mario 2, he's a standalone guy.
Yes, 100%.
I think the other ones, he's a pretty good side. He's okay.
Well,
I think by definition
alone, he has to be a sidekick because he's not on the cover of every single game like his brother is.
Right.
But he's in every single game.
Was it Luigi's Mansion is the one he's like the game that was pretty good?
Oh,
him?
No shit. You're right. So, yeah, he was able to squeeze out a game. After 30 years in the game, or in the video game world, he's got a game.
He's got a solid B.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. He is the Cal Naughton to Mario's Ricky Bobby.
Oh, good. Another one. Another nice, great sidekick there, Cal Naughton Jr. Good one.
El Diablo.
Also in the Mario Brothers world, would Yoshi be considered a sidekick?
I think so.
Yeah.
Especially in Super Mario World, where they are symbiotic in a way. Yoshi got me out of a lot of jams.
Yeah, right. So I think in that one, he would be like your ideal sidekick.
And I'm not just talking about green Yoshi. I'm talking about all the colors of the rainbow Yoshi.
All them sun bitch Yoshis.
Yep.
Well, it's also, would you say important part of being a good sidekick is being extremely helpful, but also kind of knowing your role and, you know, not wanting to take over necessarily until the time's right?
You know, speaking of, you brought it up before, you know, being somewhat of a sidekick myself, I can tell you that part of being successful sidekick is, one, being helpful to the host or the, you know, the hero.
Correct. Ooh, hero. Yeah, I like that.
Hero, yeah.
Yep.
And the other thing is, you know, like you said, just staying in your lane.
Yeah.
You know that you know what you're good for, and you know what I mean?
Like, that's why I like Tails and Yoshi and Robin, Dick Grayson Robin, like they all were 100% did that.
You know, if you can say in a press conference after a podcast or a video game, and you can say, you know, hey, man, I'm just here. I'm just glad to be here. You know, I'm happy to help out in any way I can. That makes a good sidekick.
That's huge. Where didn't you kind of get the sense that Luigi maybe was a little jealous of Mario?
I always thought, and I don't know why, but I always thought Luigi was older. Maybe it's because he was taller.
He's definitely taller. I thought he was younger because Mario was like a little bit, I don't know, he looked fatter, and he had like a little bit older face, I thought.
You know what I mean? But I thought just bigger, you know, as a kid, I'm like, he's bigger, so he's older.
Do you think Luigi, so like Fredo, because Fredo was the oldest brother, but he was not good.
And he was not a good sidekick.
He was not.
Michael Corleone.
No, I don't think so.
And speaking of that, Tommy from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Pretty good sidekick, but then kind of the wheels fell off that.
Yeah, he kind of burned a little too hot there.
Yeah. I think Joe Pesci might be the worst movie sidekick of all time.
He's De Niro's sidekick in several movies.
Casino, he did a terrible job as a sidekick in that movie. Raging Bull, he was terrible.
It was real bad.
He might be the worst sidekick ever put on film.
Yeah, I think some people would want to say that he's the best, but he may be the worst.
Other than Paulie from Rocky. Also not a great sidekick.
Oh, man. Speaking of Rocky, would you say, especially in like Apollo or in like Rocky III, like Apollo Creed sort of became a sidekick?
Kind of.
In a sense.
I'm more of a mentor, but no, not as much as a sidekick. I always thought Paulie was there for for the slightly veiled racism.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Always telling people he didn't sweat them. I don't sweat you.
Yeah. Like all right,
Paulie.
Fine. Man, I'm thinking of so many right now. It's a problem. Let's try to close the loop on video games.
Okay.
I think we've mentioned this game a bunch, The Last of Us.
Oh yeah.
Great game. And Ellie is sort of a reluctant sidekick. You know, as the guy you're using doesn't really even want a sidekick, but she's with you there, and you end up become quite attached. And I think she ends up really learning like the ropes, and she becomes kind of a sneaky badass, and she's a great sidekick.
With her switchblade, yeah, that
switchblade.
And I love that. I love that.
Awesome game.
I think the story is great, and the characters are great, and I mean, I think that she kind of comes into her own. Talk about like a depth of character kind of thing. And
well, then all of a sudden you're doing missions with her, and it's like a perfect balance.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you there. And to stay on that, I'd like to mention another Naughty Dog game. One of my favorite sidekicks in their game is Sully from Uncharted.
Ooh, okay.
The old codger who flies your plane and is kind of the father figure to Nathan Drake. I know you're not a big fan of those games, but you haven't played them yet.
I haven't played them. I think it's just I feel like it's going to take me forever.
Well, you should.
What's the difficulty level on like 1 through 6?
It's easier than The Last of Us.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I beat that.
It's much more arcadey than that. That, you know, I feel like The Last of Us is more of a survival game.
Got it.
Where this is much more shoot 'em up, but kind of in the same vein.
All right.
You know what I mean? Think of like Tomb Raider with Han Solo. That's kind of what we're dealing with.
Got it.
So if that's not up your alley, you're not into that. I don't think you're listening to this podcast, pal. You're listening to the wrong podcast.
No, that is definitely true. Another. Yeah, I was going to say another, or do you have one?
I do. How about, I don't know who's the sidekick where.
Okay.
But one of the things that popped out, Trevor from Grand Theft Auto V.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know if he's good or bad.
He's definitely both. He's nuts. He is absolutely insane. But
fun to play with.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He had some of the best lines in that whole show, or that whole game.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Another video game sidekick would have to be Dom from the Gears of War series.
Oh, yeah. And if you turn the volume down if you haven't finished the Gears of War series, well, up to Gears of War 3 with Marcus Fenix, but that when Dom goes down, that was a tough pill to swallow. Didn't see that coming.
No.
Three, when Dom met his fate, that was tough for me.
That was.
And when he saw his wife again, remember that in the first one?
Oh my God, yeah.
That was brutal. That was just brutal.
Well, I'll tell you, between Last of Us and Gears of War were like two games that I got so invested in, and then when stuff like that happens, you're like, oh boy, it's gotta get me here.
That's all right.
It's really dusty in here.
Yeah.
I just have something in both my eyes. You're like, okay.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
I didn't even say you were crying. Any other video game ones? Because I feel like we've gotten a pretty good...
No, I'm good there.
Pretty
I'm
good grab. So, just to recap for best video game, best and worst sidekicks. Probably the ones we mentioned at the beginning. Right, Tails. I think Tails is the best. You had the worst.
Tails is the best. Yeah. And I hate Navi as much as I hate Slippy. It's a push.
Okay, those guys, they can be tied for last.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to, let's say, the world of film. Let's go to movie sidekicks.
The world of film.
And I think Star Wars has a few. Right away, I think Chewbacca jumps out as maybe the best sidekick of all time.
Helpful. You know, I can't remember a time in any movie where Chewbacca screws up.
Oh, good point. You know I mean? I don't think he does.
Yeah, he's just always got it together. Doesn't say much.
Nope, he keeps to himself. But you know, Han speaks the same language as him, which is nice. Wookiee,
yeah.
And he's good with a crossbow. He can fly. He's a pilot. He's help. You know, Han Solo doesn't leave really a simple life necessarily. So you know, Chewie's seen a lot, and he's okay with it. And so that's the kind of guy you want as your main sidekick, I would say.
Absolutely. How about I'm going to throw this out here.
All right.
Dr. John Watson from the Sherlock Holmes films.
Yeah. I mean, Watson has to be. Like, even not just the films, but if you want to go to books and everything else, like, he's got to be in there, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't he be? I think that, again, you know, a guy who, you know, sticks around despite his homeboy's quirks. You know, he's always getting Sherlock out of a jam.
Yeah,
Sherlock can be his own worst enemy.
Sure.
You know?
Sure he can.
And I think I'm going to throw this out there too. Harrison Ford, I'm still on Chewbacca. I'm thinking about him. Yep. You know, he's on my mind.
Yeah, I don't.
Harrison Ford. If Joe Pesci is the worst movie sidekick, I think Harrison Ford is the best movie hero for a sidekick. For instance.
I know where you're going.
Short round
absolutely would make the list.
Yeah.
That little guy, he killed it.
Data.
What's he up to now? He had a nice little, he had a Corey Feldman-like run there in the 80s, and then...
I don't know. He's been in something. He's been in some stuff.
Is he dead?
Who knows?
Short round.
I don't think he is.
Jonathan Kee Kwan. Nope, looks like he's still alive. There you go.
Yeah.
And
we've already mentioned
he was in a movie 14 years ago, so he played a character named Sing Wong.
Oh, he did.
Yep, he was Sing Wong in the movie second time around.
Not to be offensive, I know this is a family podcast and stuff like that.
We try to
chances
be.
Chances are, I bet the kid who played Data, if I were to put money on it,
yes,
I bet he's somewhere doing math or playing the cello.
Yeah, and killing it.
Yeah.
Or, like, creating, like, an app, like a really helpful app. Something along those lines. Yeah, Data would be... Data's another... Actually, Short Round and Data were both great sidekicks. He was a great... Yeah, he carved out a nice little role for himself there in the early going.
Yeah.
He was also in an episode of Tales from the Crypt. So he's he's kind of done it all, this guy.
Yep.
Yeah, what else?
I got Goose.
Yeah, I guess.
Top Gun?
Yeah. You like Goose? No. What about...
I like Goose a lot more than I like Maverick. There, I said it.
Yeah, that's fine.
As someone who's just an... You know, you got these hunks running around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all these hunks running around playing beach volleyball in next to nothing, and there you got Goose with his mustache and his T-shirt on. That's a guy, you know, that's a guy who's like, you know what? Well, you talk about staying in your lane.
Oh, he knew.
Goose.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not here to steal anybody's show here.
Yeah, I'll just keep my shirt on.
So, an example of maybe worst movie sidekick. This was an idea actually from my wife. So this is her idea. She thought that Philip Stuckey, who was played by Jason Alexander in the 1990 film Pretty Woman. Remember George Costanza was basically Richard Gere's sidekick, and he tried to have forcible sex with Julia Roberts.
And that's just stepping on someone's funk.
That's a bad sidekick.
That's a terrible sidekick.
That's just the worst kind of sidekick you can get. He was just a terrible little guy.
Nice job, Mrs. Keefe.
Yeah, so she pulled that one out. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Here's a sidekick I also never really liked, and this might draw some ill feelings as well. Not a big Cameron guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Good one. Yeah, he sucked. Yeah. He was such a drag.
What a drip.
He was a drip.
He came around in the end. He kicks his father's car off the thing. Spoiler alert. See Ferris. If you know what? No, I'm not sorry.
No, you're fine.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, it's your fault.
He was such a Doibie Dickles.
He's such a Dickles. He's,
yeah, good call. Good call. Yeah. He was terrible. There's no doubt about it.
Just you don't want somebody. You want people who are helpful.
Yes.
You know,
please.
As a sidekick, I can tell you, you're a yes man. You know, you do. You're like, yeah, man. You're there for the energy.
You
know,
you gotta be. You gotta provide. Speaking of yes men and people that are there for the energy, how about Reed Rothschild, played by John C. Reilly in Boogie Nights?
That's two. He makes the list twice.
Yeah.
Chest Rockwell
was. I mean, he was the sidekick of all sidekicks. That guy was about it. He just wanted to have a good time.
He just wanted to have a good time. He wanted to lay down some tracks.
But more importantly, he wanted you to have a good time.
Oh yeah.
That guy was great.
Yeah. Lock and load, Jack. You know which other sidekick I hated too? I lost my notes.
All right, I got a couple.
Sorry. Okay.
From Big Time series, where do you stand on Ron Weasley and Hermione Granger?
You know, I think this is they're two sides of the same coin. You know, I think you can't have one without the other. I think Ron's there for the comic relief; he's the lighter side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hermione's the kind of like the curmudgeon-y know-it-all kind of, you know what I mean?
It's kind of the brain,
Yeah, so I think, you know, which are both good for Harry. You know, they're both kind of both sides of his personality, which is fine. You know, it's what it is.
They're fine. You know? Yeah, all right. And then another big series, obviously, would be Lord of the Rings, and Samwise Gamgee would be a big-time sidekick.
You know, and as someone who has drawn comparisons to him from time to time, I can tell you that being the hungry little chubby guy, you know, that's not a place you want to be in. But you know what? If you have a job, you do the job.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
You've been compared to Samwise Gamgee. Or to Sean Astin.
I know, but to both.
Well, you're a better football player than Rudy Rudiger, I can tell you that.
Anyway.
He was the pits.
I am a person who, tapped out early on the pill puberty thing. You know, standing at a whopping like 5'9 and a half. I know I sound a lot bigger than I am. But,
that's your voice.
Yeah, it's my booming, sultry voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I get it. You know, you help out when you can.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you.
And Sam does that, and he, you know, takes the ring and he helps out, and you know, don't trust it. And he knew better, you know.
I think he did.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
So
I got. What about John Goodman in The Big Lebowski, Walter?
I love that guy as a sidekick.
Yes.
But would hate him if he was my sidekick.
Right. Like if he was your best friend. That'd be tough living. Like watching it from afar, you can appreciate it, you can laugh, you can have a good time, but yeah, that might be a tough day to day with him.
And the dude, as easygoing as he is, you know, he's the only guy who can deal with him. But you know, just, you know, I would not want to spend a day with Walter Sobchak.
No,
talking about Nam all the time. You know,
Donnie's also a good sidekick, but he's kind of like the sidekick sidekick.
Oh yeah,
you know, like he's way further down the list, but pretty good.
let's not sleep on Spock. I know there's going to be some dork people listening. Like, you know, he's worth a mention.
Yep.
I think Spock is a good sidekick.
Spock's a good sidekick. Also, going back to Star Wars, would you consider R2-D2 a sidekick?
Oh, absolutely. One of the best.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about Reginald Vell Johnson's character in
Die Hard? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Throw him on the list. Yeah.
He's got him on the radio.
Throw him on the list. How about this? Would you say that Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption is a sidekick, right?
I would say so. A little too, yeah.
I mean,
I think there was a time in that movie where Andy Dufresne was Red's sidekick, and then it got flipped.
Yes. Oh, good. Yeah. I could see that. That one's pretty good. How about this? I got another one. The friend of hashtag dork, because he liked one of our tweets once, would be Silent Bob.
Silent Bob.
Silent Bob's a sidekick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He stays.
Someone's got to keep Jay in check.
Right.
He's a wild card.
And Jay wouldn't probably be as funny if he was just sitting there by himself. He'd be like, oh, you kind of feel bad for him. But then he's there with a guy. He gets to talk. So he's not just talking to himself. He's talking to somebody. And then once a movie, you know, Bob will open his mouth and say something important.
And it, you know, and it's very timely.
Yes.
You know, so yep. I think there are a lot of sidekicks out there, Rich, and, you know, I think we've touched on some good ones.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. But, you know, there are definitely some bad ones, too. I'm interested, in the future, I'm interested to see who's going to be the sidekick, Thor or Hulk, you know?
Well, it is a Thor movie, but I feel like Hulk's more interesting. But I guess Hulk will probably be the sidekick, if I had to guess.
Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Another movie sidekick I got, obviously, would be Garth from Wayne's World.
Yep.
Tremendous sidekick.
Solid.
And a guy who has no want to be the main guy.
None.
In fact, he has a little bit too much pressure on himself as it is, being just the sidekick. I don't think that's for him.
Yeah, we fear change.
Trying to find, who else do I have on my list? Well, you could say Doc Holliday would be Wyatt Earp's sidekick. Doc Holliday's a badass. No?
A little bit of a stretch? Yeah, a little bit of a stretch.
What about the rest?
We're getting into some deep waters here. We're getting into some deep tracks.
That's true. You already mentioned Cal Naughton Jr. Also from like movies like with those guys. Wouldn't you say all the other newsmen for the Channel 4 news team besides Ron Burgundy would be sidekicks?
I love the Channel 4 news team. Now, if you had to pick one as your sidekick, who would you pick?
Brian Fantana.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Now, he's real stinky, as you know. So that, but damn it if he isn't out for a good time, you know.
And then last one that I got for movies would be David Spade's Richard from Tommy Boy. I'd say he was kind of a bad sidekick because he was just putting Tommy down just about the entire movie until the end. But and it really wasn't even him that helped him; it was that waitress more than him. So Richard,
and now Richard from Tommy Boy is a real Doibie Dickles.
He is a Doibie Dickles and then some, that's for sure. What about a few from the TV world? One that jumps out to me would be Dwight Schrute.
Dwight Schrute?
And I would
good
say
side,
he...
Good much. Yep.
He might be bad, though, because he was... Especially in a few episodes where he really was trying to take over for Michael Scott and was trying to, you know, he was doing things behind his back to become the actual the boss there, you know? So he may be a bad sidekick, but certainly a famous sidekick.
Good sidekick, Cosmo Kramer.
Perfect. Yep.
Perfect sidekick.
He's the man. Yep.
And
that's a good one.
He's always getting into something, you know?
He is always getting into something. I like that one. What else have we got? TV.
Quagmire.
Quagmire, yes. Now, he does want to sleep with Peter's wife, so that may make him a bad sidekick.
And I like the fact that he hates Brian. Because I kind of hate Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian, everybody bags on Meg, but Brian's worse.
Brian is worse. Because at least Meg knows she's awful.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Would you say in South Park is Butters? Because I feel like the four characters are basically the main characters. Like, maybe Kenny's a sidekick, but, like, Cartman's definitely not. And Stan and Kyle are kind of equals.
Yes.
So Butters...
I would say, yeah, I see those four characters as kind of, you know, the main character is kind of one.
Yeah, like, those are the guys, yeah.
Yeah, and then Butters is kind of the sidekick.
And he's the best.
And Towley's the worst.
Yeah, you don't like Towley.
I don't like Towley.
I kind of like Towley. Oh, that's Mr. Hankey. Yeah, he's just the worst. And they even tell him he's the worst. Like, you're the worst character, Tally. It's like, just I know.
Just hitting the computer duster.
Yeah.
Hitting the compressed air. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine. But Tally sucks.
Yeah. No, that's.
Randy Marsh is actually his kid's sidekick at times, which is great.
Yeah, Randy's tremendous.
I love Randy Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm excited to see, you know, the new season and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, so in summation, best sidekicks in sort of no real order, the best of the best would probably be Dick Grayson, Robin, Tails, Chewbacca, maybe Groot.
Maybe Groot. Kramer.
Kramer, yep, definitely throw him in there. Butters, those are some of the best. Some of the
worst.
Yeah, go ahead.
Foggy Nelson.
Foggy Nelson, absolutely.
I forgot one on my list. Crypto the Super Dog. I forgot him.
Sucks. Yep.
Slippy the Toad.
Yep.
Nabby.
Yep.
And Doiby Dickles. I can't say his name for this reason.
Freaking Doiby Dickles. I definitely forgot some too because I didn't write them all down.
Doiby Dickles.
I didn't write nearly enough of them down, but I'm gonna as soon as we stop recording, I'm gonna be like, how did we forget? Fill in the blank.
We can do an amendment.
We'll have to come back. We'll have to dive back in. That's pretty good. That's a solid little list there.
Yeah, it is.
All right, you got anybody else?
Happy with it.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, yeah, so email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com and shoot us a tweet @dorkpodcast with some of your sidekicks, best, worst, and everywhere in between. Email of the episode. I put this one off for a couple of weeks because I wanted you to be a part of this one, Davey. Hart2D2 is back with a nice little email. He says some nice things early on. He says he's recommended the podcast, which I really appreciate. He also said he goes, going back to the top 30 Nintendo game podcasts that we did maybe three or four ago, he goes, even your 5 minutes of virtual dead air when you and Davey searched the internet for NES games was somehow oddly fascinating.
that was probably my low point as a sidekick. I had like a whole list in front of me that I can tell you guys now because you've probably already listened to the podcast that I actually spilled something on. And so like half of my list was like gone.
Son of a bitch.
Never to be seen again. So I had to he nailed it. I was scouring the internet because I couldn't read my own writing.
Well, we wanted to make sure we didn't forget anything, so we had our list down to 29, and we were just like, there's gotta be one game out there. And then so we and I was like, well, I could go back and edit it, but I'm like, you know what, let's give the people a real experience of what it's like.
That was raw.
Hart2D2 says, I was listening and yelling Skate or Die 1 and 2 or Castlevania 3 into my radio, hoping that you're
we already had a Castlevania game on there.
Yeah, that's why we didn't do it.
And Skate or Die was way better as a stand-up arcade game than it was as a Nintendo game. It sucked as a Nintendo game.
Yeah, so that's why we didn't put it on there. But he was saying he was hoping that your pre-recorded episode would somehow pick up my suggestions. he's also a big fan of Davey, which is good, because we do mention the few times where people have criticized Davey. But this is, you got yourself somebody who supports you, Davey, including so much so that he even watched The Night Flyer based off of your recommendation last year.
I'm dying to know. He just mentions that he saw it. He didn't actually say, like, you know, how it went for him.
I don't think all that good. I mean, we did break that down in great detail last October during Horror Movie Month. The Night Flyer. Okay, so this is the point of his email. He says, I see that in the latest run of Iron Man, Tony Stark has retired from being Iron Man and has given the reins over to a new character, Riri Williams.
Riri
Williams, who will be known as Iron Heart. I haven't read any of these comics yet, nor do I know if the transition has even officially happened, but it got me thinking. The Tony Stark Iron Man we all know is being put out to pasture and is being replaced by a whole new character with a new name and look. Here's my question for the dork world. Should comic book characters be permanently retired after a long run? For instance, should we just say, Captain America has an amazing 75 years, but it's time to put the whole shield-wielding super soldier Boy Scout thing to rest. For what it's worth, I tend to think permanently retiring some characters would be a good thing and could even enhance their legacy. Then again, I want to keep reading Batman and Spider-Man stuff for a while more, so maybe a full-fledged retirement wouldn't be such a great idea for every character with a 60-plus year run. And then as a follow-up question, which three or four comic book characters would you permanently retire? Keep up the great work and check your homes for asbestos R2-D2.
Oh, now he's stealing my thunder.
No, that's an homage. He's not stealing your thunder. I think that's just sort of a – he knows that's like a catchphrase of ours. So, yeah, I think that's a great question, though, David. Like, some of these characters have been around forever, and they've had to sort of modernize some of them and change, you know, what war Captain America fought in or – that's actually not a great example, but some of the other characters they've sort of changed around, like the Punisher, for example. Like you can't be in Vietnam now and then still, right. You know, 2016. So would you like to see them permanently retire a few characters? And if so, do you have any examples?
Like I don't think that any character should be permanently retired. However, I do think that, like, wouldn't it be a cool idea? And I'm just floating this out there, that you have the Justice League as they are. We, you know, Clark Kent is going to age differently than, you know, and so is Wonder Woman is going to age differently than anybody else. But think of, like, it would be kind of cool for them to pass it on and then serve as, like, consultants where you see them from time to time.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Where there's, you know, there's still a Batman, whether it be Dick Grayson or, you know, whoever. But Bruce Wayne is there kind of, you know, having some say in
yeah.
what they do and how they do it.
Yeah, he becomes like a mentor, like in the field.
Tony Stark, where he's like, you know, the driving force behind the Avengers, but might not be active.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's a way to do it, and I think I'm sure that there are people smarter than me who are on this case, but I think there will come a time where you kind of have to hang it up and kind of maybe pass it on.
Yes.
But I also think that in doing so, that character needs to go with them.
I got
you. Know
you.
What I mean? So
yeah.
I think there needs to be a completely different character or one that is somewhat similar but its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, for instance, I mean, how many different – now we have Spider-Gwen.
Right.
And we had Miles Morales,
yep.
who was Spider-Man, and Peter Parker, and, Ben –
No, I know what you're talking about.
Spider,
there's
and,
a bunch.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider. So we've had all these iterations, and I think that a great thing would be to, you know, if Ironheart's going to be her own thing, that's great. If, you know, Falcon becomes Captain America and he somehow changes the role a little bit, I think it's a little impractical to be running around with a shield.
Right.
You know, but that's, you know, even if it is made of vibranium or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to see, and we've seen it with the X-Men too, where they kind of bow out and are in a supervisory position. It wasn't like Emma Frost was the head of the X-Men for a little while.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So to do things like that, I think would be there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it.
See, I do think I was just gonna say I think if you do eliminate some characters for, you know, a while, and again there's been the death of Superman, you know, he comes back, you know, whether it's Captain America, you know, Jason Todd, like there's been a lot of characters that have died, then they've come back. There's only a few that stay dead forever, like Peter Parker's Uncle Ben, Bruce and Martha Wayne, except for, you know, the Flashpoint thing, like they're always dead. Like, so there are a few that are always dead, but they're not really the heroes necessarily. But if you do kill a hero and keep them dead, I think it sort of ups the stakes for all the other heroes, because now when they're in like a situation of great peril, you look at it and you're like, well, so-and-so died, so like maybe they will kill this character. Because now when you're watching it or reading it, you're like, well, you know, how are they going to get out of this one? And they just always get out of it, but, you know,
right.
some other way. So it might change things up. The only Fantastic Four, thanks to the movie in large part, is pretty much dead. I don't even know if there's like a weekly or a monthly issue of Fantastic Four right now.
No, I think Marvel actually retired them.
So I think to really up the stakes, they should get one of their best writers on it. I don't know, like Bendis or Brubaker or whoever they want. Get somebody to write a crazy Fantastic Four story where they die. Because if you're not going to write them, I think you might as well just kill them off. Like, they're still popular enough name-wise. And then maybe they get a little shot in, you know, the arm there. But then you kill them off. And I think that would be more impactful than just not even writing about them anymore. So those would be my four that I'd recommend they just completely kill off.
Yeah. I don't think... You know, they're doing much with them. And at this point, I think you just, even Fox is being like, just please just kill this franchise for us so we don't have to like carry this on anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, I know they were still planning on making another one, weren't they?
Nah, there was talks about it initially, but like nobody wants it. I guess some of the actors have been asked, and they were all like, "Yeah, I'll do it." Like Miles Teller and whoever played Invisible Woman, I forget her name.
Kate Mara.
I think we're like, "Yeah, we'd do it." You know, Michael B. Jordan's already signed on to be in Black Panther, so I don't know how that would work. But
yeah,
I don't know.
So
there you go. Good. Thanks for the email. That was a good one.
Yeah. No, especially for me. Thank you very much for the email. I appreciate it. It's nice to be, you know, it's nice to be thanked. It's just nice to be thought of.
It's nice to say nice things on the internet every once in a while. It's okay. You know, everything doesn't have to be the worst. Let's get to the pick of the podcast, shall we? David, do you have a recommendation or two of something to watch, read, or play?
Watch, read, or play. I recently just finished the entire run of American Vampire, which I will speak no ill words of. That was phenomenal.
Awesome, right? Yeah, I read that, and it's tremendous.
Started a little slow.
Yeah.
It kind of picked up a little bit. I love me some Skinner Sweet.
Skinner Sweet's the man. You didn't read, like, so Scott Snyder wrote that, and then there's, like, the very last volume is, like, a bunch of different writers with, like, their interpretation, and that, yeah. That I didn't really care for, but just the Snyder run is as good as it gets.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And again, my pick of the podcast this week is I've played it not a whole lot, but enough to know that there are significant improvements to NHL 17. The gameplay is much more fluid, much more fast. You know, so it's and the team customization for EA Sports Hockey League is off the charts good. So
nice,
pick that up.
Perfect. All right, I got two quick pick of the podcast. One for graphic novels. I read it's been out for a while, but I read Green Arrow Year One. So that was enjoyable if you like Green Arrow. You know, some of the stuff kind of from the TV show, just sort of showing you how Green Arrow becomes Green Arrow. That was a good read. And my my main pick of the podcast, I'm late to this as well, but better late than never, as they say. And with TV shows now, you can go back and watch anything. If you wanted to watch MASH, you can go back and do that. Or I Love Lucy. It's all available everywhere. But Rick and Morty on Adult Swim Cartoon Network, 2 seasons in the books. It's a total of 21 episodes. They have some on demand now. They have some on the Adult Swim website. It's also on Hulu. So, like, maybe a month ago, I've gone through all of, I've watched every episode, and season 3 they announced should be out sometime this year, but there's no date set, but there is going to be a season 3. It's amazing. Like, it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. I love Rick and Morty.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that, you know, we didn't talk about this sooner, but yeah, it's phenomenal. And the way it was pitched, you know, just for those who haven't seen it, the way it was pitched, it's actually supposed to be Doc and Marty from Back to the Future.
Yeah, you can tell that, like, that's the sense. Yeah. It's a grandfather-grandson, you know, Rick's the grandfather who's like a mad scientist who can do anything. He travels to different dimensions. And then Morty is his grandson who's kind of an idiot, but, like, they both have hilarious voices, and, like, they do literally everything on this show. It's awesome. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's one of the top shows. So, all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Hashtag Dork. Thanks again for listening and subscribing. You can rate us and comment on the iTunes, Google Play, let people know. We also have a blog that I'm going to try to update pretty regularly with different stuff. Including, you know, new teasers, trailers, our podcast, whatever else. That's dorkpodcast.blogspot.com. I'm not paying for a domain name, so that's it's going to be a mouthful, but I don't care. You can follow us on Twitter, dorkpodcast, or at dorkpodcast. Where can the people follow you?
At Arvon D, at on the Twitter machine.
What else?
And anywhere you can get me on the dork Twitter, too.
Nice.
Anywhere else, just leave me alone.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, you got a family after all. Personal space is needed.
Yeah.
David, I know
you know where to find me. If you guys know where to find me on the PlayStation, come find me.
Yeah,
come find me.
Yep, PS4. He's twitching every once in a while. Yeah. He'll get on there on the Twitch. But
Arvon D on Twitch. Follow me. I should be my streaming schedule should be more regular now. So
nice. And then last thing, David, I know you like to usually end with some important words for the listener.
Yeah, you know, it's getting the fall. You know, the leaves are starting to come down off the trees and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, with the, you know, colder, wetter weather coming, I know it's important for all of you to just get up on a ladder. I know it's not a way you want to spend your Sunday. Just check a gutter or two.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's some things in there that, you know, some they could do some real damage and, you know, hurt some people. And always have someone spotting you on the ladder, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
The most household accidents, you know, happen on a ladder or something like that, climbing
really?
Something. So,
oh, okay.
You know, just get up and check the gutters.
Yeah.
You know?
Great. Thank you, Ryan.